Go ahead and begin to record. Let's go ahead and pray. I have shared this many times, and I am sincere in this. I can do nothing without the power of prayer. I can do nothing without God. Please remember that in your own life. When you face an opportunity of sharing the gospel with someone or talking to someone, and you're going, I just don't know what to say. I don't have the courage to do it. I might mess it up. You pray about it. Turn over to the Lord. Let the Lord take charge of it. You know, that's the neat thing about turning over to Him. He never messes up. If I do it, I'll mess it up every time. But if you turn over to the Lord, He takes care of it. And that's what we want to do right now, is turn this message over to the Lord. Join me, please. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that You bless this message. Lord, I know that You prepared this message. You had me preach this message for a particular reason today. There may be one, there may be many that need to hear a particular part of this, but I know all of us can hear something special from it, because Holy Spirit, You will speak to us. Doesn't matter what I say, Lord, it only matters what You relate to us and what, Holy Spirit, You convey to our hearts and encourage us to understand, especially as we read Your word and we apply the verses. Lord, You take those verses and make them alive in our lives, that we may truly understand what You're saying to us personally. God, we thank You for that, and we pray that You take full charge of this message, that it will have its full impact because of Your power and Your glory, and we praise You for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. This message is indeed a special message. It is a basic message of Christianity, and we're going to build it around a question, and this is the question. Are you a loving person? Are you a loving person? We need to understand the significance. I think that's a question that is very pertinent to everyone in the world. Everybody needs to kind of look at themselves and ask themselves that. But Christians, if you're a Christian in this room today, you need to understand, as we shared there for a few weeks on Sunday night, it's more than just something that we need to glance over. It is a very important part of our lives, because if we are not loving Christians, we are nothing Christians. Let's look at this, please. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. Now, I will. We don't have the overheads today, the verses overhead, but you do have your verse sheets in the bulletins. If you want to look along verse sheets, if you want to look it up in your own Bible, that's fine too. Whatever you prefer. But I'll be going pretty quick because we have a lot of verses, so if you can, look them up ahead of time. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, if I give it all away and surrender my body to flames, if I'm a Christian martyr, but have not love, I gain nothing. It goes on to say that love is it, folks. For a Christian, that is the bottom line, that we must understand that is our starting place. And without love, Christians, we have nothing that is important to God. So that's why this is such an important person. Question this morning, are you a loving person? You know, when you think about your marriage, and we have many couples represented here, do you want a happy marriage? Do you want a marriage that lasts for the rest of your life the way God has intended it? Do you want to be able to relate to your spouse in a way that creates a joy and happiness? And we need to understand that love is a very important part of that. Do you want to change people's lives around you? You know, many of us have many friends and family members that we'd like to see change. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Love is an important part of that. It is crucial to that question of changing people's lives. Do you truly care whether you please God or not? And that's something that we need to answer this morning. I think that's something that all of us need to wake up and make real in our lives. Let me ask the question again. Are you a loving person? Husbands in this room, do you treat your spouse in a loving way? Wives in this room, do you treat your husband in a truly godly, loving way? boyfriends. And this is one reason why, it's interesting, it's one reason why I like to mention the tapes are available, because a lot of times I'll be talking to children who there aren't a lot of the children in because they're downstairs, and then we talk to teens. If you have teenagers that you want to get this message to, this is how you can do it, because we need to address this with them. They need to understand what love is. You know, the world's telling them what love is, and let me tell you something. World is telling a bunch of lies. And they need to understand, if they really want true loving relationships, it begins understanding God's love in them. And if you want a relationship with the people around you that will be real and true and steadfast, you must answer this question. Are you a loving person? Before we get into answering it, I think we need to define what love is. We need to understand what love is. And over the years, I've dealt with this in counseling many times with teenagers and with adults, with married couples. You know, we need to understand what love is. Love is this, folks. If you want to put it down to a finite definition, this is it. Love is caring more for the other person than you do yourself. That's love, folks. That's love. And we need to understand that it's not this, you know, the world will tell you, oh, it's so hard searching for love. It's not that hard, folks. It's just getting out of self. Quit being so selfish and care more about others than you do yourself. Let's look, please, at Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. 31 says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus is saying exactly what I just said there. Love is loving others more than yourself. Love God first, and then other people second, and yourself last. And that's hard. That's against human nature. But you know what? That's what love is. When we look at love, we look for the true definition of love. We look to the cross. Please look at 1 John 3:16. And this defines love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Lay down your life for your brothers. For your spouse, for your friends, for your family. Now I'm not talking that, you know, we know that there's cases where you got to take a bullet for somebody, but we're all saying, oh, I would give my life, I'd die for my spouse. But you know what? Many times we think we'd die by taking a bullet. We're so proud to brag about that. But when it comes to treating the spouse in a loving fashion, loving them more than you love yourself on a daily basis, whew, that's pretty hard. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we really have to deal with it. Are you willing to show love to the people around you? Caring more for others than you do yourself, as Jesus cared for us on the cross. To care about yourself and want what you want in life. To think about what you determine as your goals, and this is what's important to me. And to not put other people's needs before that is not Christian love, folks. That's selfishness. And we must understand the perspective, because let's face it, this world looks out for who? Number one, me. You know, you hear that all the time. Look out for number one. Nobody else is going to. But folks, you know what? That's not God's way. And that is not a godly love. We must understand. Now that we've determined those areas about love, I want to give us some real reasons why we should love others the way that God has told us to love. Love them more than ourselves. The first reason is because God tells us to. You know, why do we do things? You need to do what God tells you to do. You know, I did a sermon a few weeks ago and talking about the fact that the reason God tells us to do things, the reason God calls things sin and not sin, is because he loves us and he wants us to be happy. And God has demanded that we love his way, not our way, but his way. Look at the verses that talk about it. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything in love. That covers almost everything. It's 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Once again, the world's idea is you do it to me, I'll do it right back to you, twice as hard to make sure you don't even think about doing it to me. But we need to understand that's not love. And we must understand that God has commanded us to love others. And He will look at our daily love. The second reason why we should love is it covers sins. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get covering my sins. Now you say, Pastor Dennis, I don't understand. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. He shed His blood. That's what covers my sins. You're right. That covers our sins for salvation. But let me tell you something. If you are a very hard, unforgiving person, God will hold you to that accountability. And you need to understand that. Look at this. It says it very clearly. Please look at pure love covers sin. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. That means if you are a loving, kind, merciful, forgiving person, then many times, I hate to put it so down to earth, but God will cut you a little bit more slack. You know, I've run into people who are so hard that they'll look at you and tell you 15 things you've done wrong before they even get you out of their sight. I mean, they're just judging you like crazy. Well, guess what? That person's going to be held to a very strict chain, shall we say. I mean, I want to forgive others so that God will give me as much room as I can have, because I'll be honest with you, I need it. Amen? None of us are perfect. And if we are strict and hard with other people, all of a sudden we will find the God above will hold us strict and hard. You say, Pastor Dennis, you making this up? You just coming up with this theology? It's all through the New Testament. Please look at Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Praise God, I like that word, don't you? The next thing, let's look at another verse that says the same thing. Matthew 6:12, we pray this all the time. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Aren't you glad that God doesn't, I am so glad sometimes, God doesn't take that prayer that you and I have prayed so often and hold us really strict to that, because folks, we'd be in trouble sometimes. Because we forget to forgive. And we must be willing to forgive. Oh, God, please forgive us. I know I didn't mean to do that the other day. Please forgive me and don't let me have to pay the consequences. Oh, God, please forgive me. We walk out the door and we look at somebody. We see our neighbor. And I remember yesterday they did this and this and this. I'm going to get them back for that. Don't we understand that God hears our hearts and our words? And we must be people who seek to forgive and seek forgiveness. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now that does not mean we're going to hell. Okay, let me get that straight. If you're a Christian and you are saved and you receive Jesus Christ and you've been forgiven for all your sins, past, present, future, you are going to heaven. But folks, let me tell you something. There are consequences to sins in this world, Christians. Do not be deceived. If you go out and I think I said this last week, you go out and shoot somebody, guess what? God can forgive you that sin, but you're still going to jail. You go rob a store, God can forgive you that sin, but guess what? You're still going to jail. You cheat on your wife, husbands, or wife cheat on a husband, God can forgive you that sin, but let me tell you, that will still destroy the marriage, destroy the children's lives, and just probably destroy the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. All because of sin. There are consequences to sin. And we must understand, as consequences come into our lives, God can help us to limit those as much as possible. But if you're such a hard person that you're picking on everybody else's faults, and you're always finding fault with everybody else, and you're finding what they're doing wrong, man, God's going, why should I help you? You don't even cut nobody a break. That's motivation to be more loving and forgiving and patient. If you wish to be shown forgiveness and love, we must learn to forgive and love. Third reason we must learn to love is it is the ultimate goal of a Christian. It's what we're all here for. Love, you know, I share many times, the only reason you and I, if you're a Christian, the reason you didn't drop dead as soon as you received Jesus Christ is because God wants to use you to share the gospel. That's the number one reason we're here. Well, but what does that mean? That means you love people. You care about them. You know, I've hardly ever seen anybody who shares the gospel that hated people. Could care less whether people go to heaven or hell. No, because they love people. They want to share the gospel. Look at this verse. This shows the progression that we should all be growing in. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. You're coming to know the Lord. You know the Bible better. Then self-control. Knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Hang in there through trials. Perseverance, godliness. You are a godly person. Godliness, you'd think that'd be the end of it, wouldn't it? But no, look what happens. Godliness, it develops into brotherly kindness. It means start being nice to one another. And then, look at this. What's the ultimate one? Love. After you've done all that stuff, after you've developed all those good qualities, what is most important is that you get to love. Remember what that one verse said, if you aren't loving, none of that makes any difference. You got to be a loving person. So we must be building to develop love. I'm going to try again to get... Oh, that just happened. Wait a minute. This thing started giving us a problem a couple weeks ago, and I got it fixed, but let's see if we got it now. Building into love, that should be our ultimate goal as a Christian, is to be a loving person. The next reason why we should love is it's the only way to be an effective Christian for God. You know, once again, every one of us, I won't have you raise your hand, but you think in your mind, don't raise your hand, you think. Every one of us has somebody in our lives that you are concerned about. Either concerned about spirits, you want to see them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You want them to spend eternity in heaven. You really care. You want to. Well, folks, guess what? God wants to use you. But before you can be used and be an effective Christian, we've got to learn to love. And that means, back again, caring more about others than ourselves. Look at this verse, 2 Peter 1:8. For if you possess these qualities, this is continuing this previous list of qualities, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to bear fruit? We as a church, we better want to bear fruit. That's the only reason we're here. As I said, the only reason you're still breathing, Christians, is to tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody else that's bound to hell, you're supposed to tell them. Let them know. No, we don't beat them over the head with a stick or a board and preach at them. But we tell them what? That we love them. That Jesus loves them. That is our reason for being here. And in order to do that, we've got to have a loving heart. We've got to develop that. It is the way that we are most productive for the Lord. I'm going to try to stop. Let me take my coat off. Let's try that. I'm sorry. We had that fixed. Another reason why we should learn to love is the proof and evidence of who we are as a Christian to the world, to God, and ourselves is in our love. We must understand it. Look at 1 John 2:9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Now, I don't want to get in a big theological discussion about somebody who could be hateful and unloving, whether or not they're saved or not. You know what? That's not my job. That's God's job, so I'm not going to judge. But one thing I see clearly in that verse is if you are a Christian and you want to talk to other people about being a Christian, you better be a loving person. I've said before, you got to be joyful, because who wants to be a Christian if the way you're come to be a Christian like me? Who wants to be that? You know, I'm going, I don't want to be like you. You look like you've been sucking on persimmons. And it's the same thing in the area of love, even more so. Why should they want to come to a loving God when they look at you and they see nothing but bitterness, anger, and meanness? They go, that must be the kind of love your God has. And you know what? I don't want that. I want a love that is real. And we must understand that we must love as proof and evidence of our Christianity. In fact, the Bible is very clear that if you do not love, chances are you don't know God. Let's look at this, please. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:20. And if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who him has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Folks, God can't say it more times and any clearer than that. If you say you love God, you've got to have a loving heart to love other people. That's it. If we don't, we are hypocrites. Another great reason to love is because Jesus loved you so much. Maybe perhaps we should have started with this one, but when you think of the cross, I was listening to a song that I hadn't heard for a long, long time. In fact, it was a song, it talks about Jesus dying on the cross for me and his love and how much he gave for me. And I hadn't heard it for years. In fact, I'd heard it so much that after a while, you know, I kind of got numb to it and I kind of, I'm sick of it. I heard it yesterday for the first time in a long, long time. And it just spells out the fact that Jesus died on the cross and how he did it for me. How he didn't have to do it, but he did it for me. And as I'm listening to that song, I was driving in the car yesterday, and I'm driving in the car, and tears start welling up in my eyes. I'm going, man, Jesus, you did that for me. Please don't let me forget it. Please listen to this verse, 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. After you think of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, when he didn't have to, and he says, please love others. How can we be so bitter and not love the way God wants us to love? Open your hearts and allow that appreciation to show through in your love. The last reason that I want to look at this, and I'm going to take this off.
Never get confident that you fix something until you test it many, many weeks. I'll go back. Now I'm a better shot. You can hit me with a hymnal easier when I'm sitting in one place. The last reason that we need to become loving people is holy and spiritually strong to experience the miraculous victories in our lives. Folks, we must understand something. Do you want miracles in your life? Do you really want your prayers to have power when you pray for people? Do you really want to see God's blessing flow through you and into your life? We've got to be loving people, folks. Let's look at this. Philippians 1:9 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of sight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Do you see number 10, verse 10 there? So you may be able to discern and understand what's going on. How many Christians do you know that they're just as puzzled and confused as the world? They don't know what. They don't know which way to go. A lot of that comes from just getting away from the Lord, to be honest with you. A lot of times the Bible says, seek me and I'll help you and follow me and I'll guide you. But when we get on our own, and I've been there, I've been, you know, those years of rebellion. And you know what? Those are black years. I shared before. In college, you know, I'd been so straight till I got away to college, and all of a sudden sin temptation gripped me and all this kind of stuff. And what was interesting about it, my freshman year, I had a horrible person as a roommate. I mean, he was a reprobate. And I stayed very strong Christian as I tried to witness to him, as I was disgusted by his sin, yada, yada, yada. The next year, I roomed with a very strong Christian young man. He and I roomed together. And, you know, you'd think, oh, wow, they'll encourage each other. You know what we both did? We both had the same sin weakness, and we would both talk each other into the sin and justify the sin to each other. So we both got into sin. Guess what? We both paid the price for sin. And we need to understand that there is that price to be paid. But we also need to understand, when you do not have a heart that is seeking God first in your life, you will become confused. We confused each other. Purposely, because we're trying to justify the sin. But we confused ourselves because we weren't in the Lord. We weren't growing, seeking God's truth. And you say, where does that come from? Yes, it comes from being in church. Yes, it comes from prayer, studying the Bible. But let me tell you something. If you're an unloving person, you got a stone ear to start with. We need to humble ourselves and be a loving, caring person to open our eyes, to be able to understand God's guidance. Now that we've seen the importance, I'm going to ask you again, are you a loving person? Most in this room would say, yes, I am. I'm a loving person. I try really hard. Well, let me tell you something. If that's one question that we're going to, oops, I got to stay over here. If that's one question we're going to ask today and answer, here's another question. How do you know whether you are a loving person? This is the tough part. Most of us, from our own perspective, we'll grade ourselves and say, well, I check out there, I'm okay there, I treat everybody okay. Usually what do we say? I'm better than that other person, you know. So we grade ourselves. But let me explain something. Remember the definition of love. Love has nothing to do with your own perspective, does it? It has to do with other people, how you're treating them. So here's my challenge to you. How can you know if you're a truly loving person? Ask those who are around you. This is tough. And before, as I was studying this morning, Bonnie was in the back room working on, I think, the bulletin or whatever she was working on. I said, Bonnie, come here. I got to talk to you real quick. Because I'd been studying and hadn't seen her when I was studying all week long. And this morning I was looking at her, I said, I got to ask you quick, because if I'm going to challenge them to ask each other, I got to ask you. And I had to ask Bonnie right then. And I sat her down, looked face to face, said, Bonnie, do I treat you in a loving way? Do I show my love to you? And you know, that is a very tough question, because you better be ready for an honest answer. Because there may be, well, you know, there is some areas, you know, that maybe we can work on. Hopefully they're gentle when they answer it. Bonnie was very honest. She said, I'm perfect, and so it was fine. But I reiterate that in order to find out how loving a person we are, we need to ask the person that we are relating to. Husbands, do you treat your wife in a loving fashion? Folks, let's look at Ephesians 5:25. This is a verse that men pull out so often to claim dominance. And I believe in this. You know I preach on this. The man is the priest of the house. We will be held accountable for the direction of the house. We will be held accountable for the spirituality of the house. Men, buck up. It's our job. God has given us that position. It's very clear. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. This verse follows, of course, submission, and we'll talk about the submission verses in a second. I like to hit this one with the men first, because let me tell you something, men, if we do this right, the women would have a lot less problems doing the submission right. In this world today, a lot of times the marriages are messed up because they get it all out of whack. You know, this submission has become a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. We're all supposed to submit somebody. It's a way to get in the right direction. We talked about that a few weeks ago with families, how to have a happy family, you know. Men follow God. Wife follows the man. Children follow the parents. And you know what? If we all go in the right direction, we're all going to end up in the right place. But it's when everybody starts doing their own thing, their own way, and everybody gets bosses, then nobody knows anything about the family's direction. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, men. You need to understand, though, not only are you called to be the priest and the head of the house, you are called to love your wife. Look at that. Look at that challenge. Just as Christ loved the church. Whoa. That's some serious love going on there. You must love them more than yourself. You've got to care more about their emotions than you do your own needs. You've got to care about meeting their needs before you care about meeting your own needs. And men, that is hard, because we get stubborn and set in our ways. But you know what? That does not change the definition of love just because we're old, stubborn. It doesn't. We still need to love our wives more than we love ourselves. We must do that. Now, let's not leave out the women. Wives. Let's look at the wives. Wives, do you love your husband and treat him in a truly loving fashion. Ephesians 5:22. Here it is. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. When wives, you've got to understand, you've got to submit to your husbands to get the cycle started. I've shared this before. I'm a firm believer in the cycle. Why did God call women to submit to men? It's because we are too stubborn and hard-headed. The wives can do the start the submission. The wives are built to be able to be submissive, to get it started. And then the husbands, hopefully at that point, in most cases they will, they'll respond in loving the wife the way that they should, as Jesus loved the church. And then they will begin and say, wow, she's really meeting my needs. You know what? I might want to meet her needs. And then all of the husband starts meeting her needs and being what she needs in the relationship and being what she needs in the leadership of the home and the spiritual man of the house and provider and lover and comforter and all those things that a wife needs. And then as he meets her needs, what happens? It's easier for her to submit now. He deserves my submission that much more. It's easier for her. And it gets bigger and better and bigger and better. And I'm here to tell you, after 36 years, I haven't got her to ask me, I think it's 36 or 37 years of marriage, God has blessed us with a tremendous cycle. How did it start? I know that it started with the submission of Bonnie and then me saying, man, she's great. I got to live up to my love for her. Wives, do you love your husband enough to submit? I'm not going to submit to any man. Well, you better watch it. That's not what God said. No wonder there's 50% of divorces in the church. We need to understand that it begins with that. It is not a weakness. It is a strength in the women. And it makes the men step up to the base and be what they're supposed to be. And we must understand that. Wives, do you love your husband more than yourself? Are you so busy worrying about what your needs need to be met that you don't even care about his needs? He must come first, and vice versa, so that everybody gets their needs met. Here's one that is very important, is the relationship between parents and kids. You know, we assume that we assume, of course we love them, we're providing for them. Well, that's not always evident. We need to understand that our children need to perceive that we love them. Once again, what is love? Love is caring more for them than you do yourself. Now, if you're going to ask your kids, which I did one time, I preached a sermon. I brought my teenage son at that time, and Eric is a pretty good kid, so I was in pretty good shape. I was okay. He was not going to take it out of me and, you know, take shots at me. So it worked out okay. But let me warn you, don't ask them right after you discipline them. Don't ask them right after you put them on restriction. Sit down at a time when you can truly ask your kids, do you feel that I love you? Do you know that I love you? Do you know that I care for you more than I care for myself? You know, once again, we all assume it. Of course they should know that. I put food in their mouth. That's not it, is it? You can feed somebody and still hate their guts. We need to understand our children need to feel and know that we love them. And perhaps it needs to be verbalized. You need to give them a chance to say, well, why don't you feel like I love you? Well, you punished me. But, honey, don't you understand? The Bible says that means I love you. It's because I cared enough to make the effort to discipline you. But you know what? You got to talk about it. You got to communicate it with them. You got to let them know. And you need to be open enough and honest enough to ask them, Christian teens and children, do your parents know that you love them? This is a tough one because we know that kids, you know, they get into a mold of acting like the rest of the kids, the rest of the teens, and you know, they forget about caring about anybody else. I'm sorry, I love teens. Everybody knows I love teens. They're my first caring with kids and children and everything else. But teenagers can be very self-absorbed. They can pretty much get self-centered and not break out of that wall that's there, that they are only concerned about what I'm going to look like and when I'm going to go out next and da 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 da. And we need to address this with our Christian teenagers and say, look, kids, you need to understand something. This is important. God says you must love me the way that I love you. God demands it of you to love me, and that means you need to love me more than you love yourself. And they're going to go, what? What? And you may have to explain it to them. Maybe they need you to show it to them. But we need to get that message across to our teenagers and our children. We have some very, very sweet kids in our group that are preteens. Right now we're short of teenagers. We've got a few teens coming in, but we've got some great, great kids in our preteen group that are going to be our youth of tomorrow, and they are very, very sensitive people. And I want to see that nurtured to the point where they are not ashamed. When I walked out of there today, a bunch of them yelled, "We love you, Pastor Dennis!" You know, and I, it blows you away that they're so open about that, and I think that's wonderful. But we need to encourage that and not let the world steal that from them. Amen? And they need to understand between their parents and grandparents what it means to truly love the way God has instructed them. Also, the last area that I want to talk about is our relationship with others. At work, the people at work, if you go to the people at work and ask them, "Do I show you Christian love?" They'll look at you first, they'll go, What? But you know what? If you are a Christian and you've tried to witness to them and talk to them about the Lord, you better show them Christian love. And it would not hurt. You know, my pastor told me to come ask the people at work if I show Christian love. Do you think I show Christian love? And you know, some of them might say, "Oh, I don't know," when you yell at me. And, you know, if you're my boss and you yell at me, you know, I'll question it sometimes. And then you can explain what Christian love is. Got nothing to do with discipline. It's got nothing to do with being a good boss. I mean, you got to be a good boss, but you can still show Christian love. The people in the church, if people were to ask someone in the church whether you are a loving person showing love, what would their answer be? I hope that the main thing they say is yes. They show love above everything else. They are not trying to find fault. They are not trying to find things wrong with people, but they're trying to find ways to love. Why is this process so important? Is because if you can't love your spouse, how in the world can you love the world? And also, I'll say this, many people love the world and don't love their spouses. They begin to, so often we're so friendly to the world, we treat the world nice on a daily basis, we treat the people we work with nice, but we get home, we treat our family like, they're scum. That's not supposed to be that way, folks. God, when God said love your neighbor, he means the person sleeping next to you too, you know? He doesn't mean your neighbor next door only. Your family, those kids sleeping in the next room, we're supposed to show love to. And we must understand it is very important, Christians. Remember, the true test of love is not whether you think you love someone, but whether someone thinks you love them. Be bold. Do you love God? Then you must love others, including your family. 1 John 4:20 says, and we will end in this, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given this commandment to us, whoever loves God must love his or her brother." And that means brother and sister living in the same house or wherever they are. Show love. Christians show love. It is fundamental to us. It is fundamental to God. And without love, we are nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we ask right now that you help us, that we may be loving people. Lord, sometimes we are and sometimes we aren't. God, help us to be more consistent. Help us to always care more about others than ourselves. And let us see areas of our lives that we are selfish. Especially us married folk who, over the years, form bad habits and perhaps get into bad ideas, and we don't show the kind of love to each other that we should. God, help us to love our families. Help us to love our spouses. Help us to love our children, our grandchildren, the way that we should. But then help us also to love those around us by caring more about them than we do ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Let's go ahead and stand as they come forward with a final song. I would encourage you, if you need prayer in this area, I don't mean that you particularly are struggling with it, because I know none of us are struggling with it. But I will say this, that if you need prayer for someone that you know in your family or know as a friend, that maybe there's somebody you had a tough time with, maybe there's just some real difficult times, and you'd like special prayer, I'd be honored. Never, if you don't know that you want to have
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is a fountain as wide as the sea. Room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Though sunshine or rain, though loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Okay, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's on your book.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the fact that we each know you. And I'm so thankful that you are in each of our hearts. And I pray that this coming week, that each and every one of us will show your love to all those that we come in contact with. That we will really, truly show brotherly love to those who bother us, to those who may say something wrong or whatever. We just pray that we will be true examples of Christ to each and every one that we come to in this town. And we commit it to you and thank you so much. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.